My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this exciting edition of the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
And I am Retro Ray. I got to learn how to say it in Japan.
Japanese. And my name is Zach. Just Zach.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. And we are officially going to Japan. Myself, Retro Ray, Colin, our buddy Craig, and my buddy Carl. We're all going to go to Japan in April 2025 for the three-day celebration. And it was an adventure getting these passes, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, essentially, yeah, before we get started, I do want to recognize our awesome patrons here. Hayden Hauser, Darth Ace One, Lee McCallion, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Finwer526, Maya Morris, and Makatao Tyler. Thank you so much for all your awesome love and support. You've helped us get to Japan, and that help was greatly appreciated. But to the story, this was an odyssey, man. Late last night, I saw someone post on Facebook, I believe, a message that they got when they tried to purchase their VIP tickets. So if you bought London VIP tickets, you were given a code if you wanted to use on May the 1st to access VIP and be able to buy VIP, because you were granted that access since you bought VIP the previous celebration. So someone posted this screenshot of what it seems like to me, the way the whole ticketing process works. To me, the way I interpreted the message is, it doesn't matter how fast you get in line. It matters where the system throws you in line for separate blocks of people that actually click the link to get tickets. So it was essentially like another lottery. They just threw you in a randomized spot in line. So I actually had three laptops and a phone going. I think Colin had four laptops and his phone going. Craig had a few laptops going, I think, and I think Carl had his laptop and a phone going. So my phone was the one that got in the fastest. So, of course, when you try and buy tickets, you see like the little green man or the green bars with a little white man walking. And mine was progressing further than everyone's. I think it took, I want to say, it feels like an eternity now, but it felt like 13 minutes, I got in. So as soon as I got in, Ray was at the same pace as me. He sent us a text saying VIP was sold out. We were like trying to like figure out where did he see that at. I didn't want to touch anything on my computer. I didn't want to mess with my phone. I didn't want to touch anything. I didn't want to answer any phone calls. So when I finally got through, it showed that VIP was sold out, which was a bummer, because this year we were planning on getting VIP, buying the max, and just figuring out who was going to get those tickets. But it was sold out like every other year. And I've told this story before on the podcast, that I've been on the floor, talked to people who won VIP, and they've said they've gotten the natural way of just going on the website, clicking on buy VIP, and they were able to buy somehow, some way. I don't know. I'm now a veteran of doing this six times, and I've never seen VIP. And I'm clicking on the button as soon as they go live. So there's a little bit of a monkey wrench thrown in there, because they sent us emails to click on to go buy the tickets. So that delayed us a little bit. But like I said before, what they were doing was taking us and throwing us in random locations in different blocks where people were in line. So that's why my phone got in faster, I think, before any of my laptops did. And I think my phone was the last device that I actually clicked on to buy tickets for. because, like I said, I got an email. If you were on the website, StarWarsCelebration.com, you would have had to have refreshed the page to open up a new page to click on buy tickets. So VIP was sold out. 3-day was available. I bought the max that it would allow me. It was 4. I go through, enter in my credit card. It was a credit card I never use. It's an Apple card. So I've used it a couple times for a couple of like just small things. So the price, all the prices were in yen, but I kind of knew about how much everything was. So I try and buy the 4. I enter in all the new credit card information. It's not saved on my computer. I hit buy. They give me a confirmation number. They give me a QR code. I take a picture of it just in case. I don't get an email. And then right as I was on the phone, Colin was on the phone with me. And right as we were about to hang up, he was like, send me the confirmation email. And I was like, I don't have a confirmation email. And I checked and I got an email from Apple stating that there was detected fraud on my account. So it told me, go back into the app and approve the transaction. So I get back into the app. I don't see anywhere that's like obvious to like approve the transaction. It just says declined. So essentially I spent over $700 for everything. So I went back to the email trying to figure out what to do. I had called earlier in the day to maybe raise my credit limit so I could maybe buy a little bit more, but I had enough money to buy pretty much everything aside from buying all the merch and stuff. But I got that warning that there was fraud detected. I don't know if it was because I was buying something from Japan because it was in yen, or just simply the amount of money that I was spending, but it totally declined the transaction. I get in contact with Apple support. Of course, it takes me forever to get a real person. They're messaging me back and forth, and they're telling me that, yes, even though there is a charge on my card, it was declined. I don't owe that money. I was like, okay, well, I had all these other computers still in line throughout all of this. So I wait for the MacBook that I use for the podcast. That was the furthest along. Colin in Michigan, he wasn't even that far along. So that's how kind of randomized it was. So to say the least, I was able to get back in. And like London, I bought individual days. And so that secures passes for me, Colin, Craig, and Carl. And then Ray pretty much simultaneously got in there and he bought his single day. So the VIP and the 3-day sold out completely. A lot like the London experience. So we're going to have individual days. So that's the story. I'm glad we got in. There's a point there where I was thinking, man, all this might sell out and we might not be able to go. So that was my experience. What did you experience there, Ray?
Yeah, kind of same experience, but I only had an iPad and an iPhone that was connected. Because of course, you know, I'm on crutches. So it was kind of hard to get to here, the room at that time frame when I just got off work, came straight over here. But yeah, it was the same thing. So I was like, okay, I'll get on my phone, get my iPad, boom, boom. I was surprised that the phone got connected faster than the iPad and stuff like that. But yeah, it was kind of crazy. Kind of left it in God's hands. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I guess it's meant to be. Japan, I guess, here we come. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous, man.
Yeah, a long time ago, I didn't like really flying on planes, but I kind of got over that, really. I think with this last trip I did with my family in Hawaii, it was an 8-hour flight, I think. I kind of got over it at that point. I told myself it's not really a big deal. But that flight to Hawaii was 8 hours. This flight from LAX to Hawaii is going to be 16 hours. So...
That's crazy. I couldn't do that. There's no way unless I had like, I don't know, like a recliner or something I could sit in.
So I flew to Hawaii a couple months ago on a Boeing 767 Dreamliner. The seats were comfortable. There was a lot of leg room. They have about 6, 7, 8-inch monitors in the head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rest, and you just get to select from a huge catalog of movies what to watch, what you want to watch. You're gonna have to watch several movies on that flight. So yeah, that's essentially what I did. I saw a few movies that I hadn't seen in a while, and they actually have podcast selections on that flight. It was an American Airlines, I believe, American or United, one of the two. But I was like looking at like, is Star Wars the podcast maybe on here? No, it wasn't, but.
So for packing wise, how are you? So I have a bag. I don't know if they'll let me take it. So I have a walking bag, duffel bag. I don't know if you ever saw that bag that Rick was taking on the first when he was putting all the guns in it. Kind of looks like that, and it has a big sheriff's logo on the bag and everything like that. Yeah,
you might not want to take that, Ray.
it's a cool bag, and I was like, yeah, man, that could be a carry on. I don't have to take that much. It's only 3 days. Or 4 days, or five, depending on the situation. But I was like, I could fit everything in here, and it would be a carry-on, and I don't have to take anything else. But I was like, I don't know if that big sheriff logo is going to cause any issues on it or anything like that. But, yeah, it's crazy, dude. What are you going to take? Or how do you pack, in other words?
If I think back to London celebration, what I packed was a backpack for my carry-on. And I think just a big suitcase that I checked. I think that's all I did. With the podcast though, we're probably going to want to take our mics again. And we'll have a lot of us actually there to be able to podcast in Japan. But we do have wireless mics that I just acquired. They're right here. They're the Rode Pros. I haven't even opened the box yet.
Nice.
So if we can, I want to talk to more people that go and that whole experience and do more of a video diary like we did in Chicago. We really didn't do one in London, but I do want to do more of that in Japan and get more footage and try and get that out to all of the people that listen and watch us on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. But yeah, as soon as I was on the plane back from London, on the screen in front of me in the plane was an option to do Rosetta Stone for Japanese. So I started it right then and there. And of course, I don't remember any of the Japanese words that's not to me. But yeah, now it's probably time to maybe know a little bit. The cool thing about the time we live in now is that you have Google Translator. It's very simple. You just go to Google and you translate English to Japanese. And you can type in English what you want to say to someone there, and it will read it back in Japanese. So the language barrier is not that big of an issue. But we are also traveling to Japan with two other people that have already been to Japan. That's Carl. He was there, I think he said, about 15 years ago. And General Kenobi from General Kenobi's Bunker. He's been on the show before. He was there in 2014, I believe. And he kind of knows his way around, but I think for me, Ray, and Colin, we're essentially just going for celebration and then getting out of there. I think Carl and Craig actually want to visit stuff when they go. So there's that aspect. But I'm just relieved that we got tickets that we're in. I was talking to a few people over text and messaging that have gotten more access than us to celebration, and they weren't able to get VIP tickets either. So sure. It's kind of a weird thing, man. It was funny because when I was I pretty much called everyone today that was interested that had called me on the phone and said, "Hey, if you can get me a ticket, get me a ticket." And of course, VIP was all gone. But yeah, everyone was just hoping for that VIP, but every single year, this is my sixth celebration, and I think I've tried for VIP for five of them, because it was wild, because for the 2015 celebration, when The Force Awakens dropped, I actually bought my tickets in October. I waited months before buying. So that wasn't a big issue, but I have a lot of relief right now that we actually got the tickets that we're going to be able to go. And I'm happy that Ray was able to get them. So pretty much everyone that has talked to me personally has tickets now on the podcast. So yeah, we got to gear up for it's less than it's less than a year away. So we have to prepare. We have to maybe not learn Japanese. I might learn a little bit and check out the customs. I've been doing a little bit of research here and there. There was a big thing in the news that I saw that tourists weren't being allowed to look at Mount Fuji because there's a certain spot. Carl was telling me something about tours you can buy, but there's a certain spot where you get off the train and you can see the famous mountain in Japan. But the Japanese were putting up barriers so tourists couldn't simply just stand there and take pictures of it, because what was happening was they were standing there taking the pictures, doing their photo op, looking at the mountain, but then they were just throwing their trash on the ground. In Japan, they're a culture that if you have trash, they don't have trash cans everywhere. You have to keep your trash with you, and then when you go to your hotel, that's where you throw it away at. So the report was tourists were coming in and just throwing stuff everywhere because they're not accustomed to that. So it's one thing to keep in mind when we go over there, that there's no trash cans. You're going to have to put it in your pocket or your bag or somewhere. But I would assume that in celebration, there's going to be plenty of places to throw away your stuff. But I mean, it'll be a brand new experience for me. I've never been to Asia. I've never been to Japan, obviously. The only time I've left the country was to drive to Mexico and to fly to London. I still have my passport. I don't have to buy that again. I know Ray has to maybe get a passport, right?
Yeah. My wife is checking into all that right now. Yeah. And the hotels as well. So on top of this, we have tomorrow to celebrate. So what time are you going to your screening, Zach?
It'll be 6:20 Eastern, I believe, for tomorrow. Or no, sorry, Saturday.
Oh, you're going Saturday?
Yeah, so okay. Tomorrow, the 3rd, we're going to a local in Grand Rapids. We're going to the symphony. They're doing a Star Wars night. So we'll get see live music with a professional orchestra. So we're super excited about that.
Nice. Well, you know what? Yeah. You got to get some photos for the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think it'll be really cool. I don't know. I don't think they're playing like a movie and just doing the score all the way through. I think they're just doing like big hits of Star Wars scores across the, I don't know, 9 films in Solo and Rogue One or whatever. And then they'll probably do scenes along with it, like on a projector as that's up there. So can't wait. I've never been to a symphony before, so I got no idea what to expect.
Nice. So are you doing, I take it, free comic book day in the morning and then doing your movie in the afternoon?
So I'm going to wake up and binge Tales of the Empire with some blue milk and mixed with not Frosted Flakes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And then,
oh, dude, that sounds so good.
Dude, I had that last Saturday. That was really good while I was watching Knuckles. Oh, it was good. And then I don't know if we're going to record anything. I've been talking with David a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about Tales of the Empire. We'll see. And then we'll see what time I'm left with before my screening.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to Bender there. Watch us on YouTube.
What's up, Bender?
You know, I'm Bender. Where's Fry? it's going to be fun, dude. We got so much stuff planned for, well, Saturday. They got free comic book day for us here. And then, of course, we've got this event that's going to be dropping as well at Wonderland Mall. And we have access to this event. So we're going to get access to these actors and possibly get to talk to them, get to ask some questions. If you guys have any questions you would like to ask, send them tonight, email them, and we can probably try to fit them in, and then we'll put your name with it. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a very interesting weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we're going to do a live podcast around noon on Saturday. Hopefully we can watch the entirety of Tales of the Empire, and we can have our reaction and kind of talk about it with everyone that watches, and any type of like story elements that come up that kind of fill in kind of the whole Barriss Offee story. I know we've been waiting for a decade to see where that went, and I guess we're going to get that hole in the story closed, and also find out the backstory for Morgan Elsbeth and see a little bit of Thrawn, a little bit of Vader.
Yeah.
So that should definitely be really good. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you able to share screens?
Yeah. You just go down in the tools there.
Can you look up on Instagram Rebel Art Design?
You can. You can go on your laptop and do it.
I mean, how do I share the screen? Share.
You click on present.
Let me see.
I have a super random question. Did you guys say that the 3-day adult tickets were sold out, or did you buy
the day
passes individually?
Essentially, they were sold out.
That's weird because it says it's available on my screen. I just got in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot.
And yeah, click on one, hit the drop-down quantity for one.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you tickets at the top that it's not available.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough. Wait, unable to reserve.
Yeah.
Boo. Okay, I wasn't sure if I was reading that right, but... And I was just looking for giggles.
Be a combination of things because, I mean, people are in the process of buying the tickets. So people have them in their cart and they haven't been purchased yet. So that's probably why they're leaving it open just in case tickets get dropped back into the store there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited for Japan. We'll be able to go to another celebration, get max coverage. And Doug Chang is actually going to be signing.
Oh, that's so cool.
And, man, he signed in Chicago for free. But the line was like, it was a makeshift line. He probably wasn't supposed to be signing, but people just like queued up and got his autograph.
What would you have him sign, David?
For sure, Naboo N1 Starfighter.
Yeah.
Something of that nature. I have one from 1999, but it's a model that constantly kind of falls apart. So unless I super glue everything.
Yeah.
I might buy something there at the con and just have them sign that.
No, that's fair. I might have them sign. I have a concept art book that came with one of my VHS copies of The Phantom Menace. That'd probably be what I'd go for.
Yeah, that would be an awesome thing for him to sign.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold up. I'm still working on it. But anyway, so I've been chatting with these guys, and they're going to give us some cool stuff to give away to our fans who listen to us. And they're going to be sending photos later of what items that they are going to give us that giveaway. But if you go to their site, Rebel Design Art Designs, this is just some of the stuff they put together and they sell on their page. So some of our lucky guests may get some cool prizes from Rebel Art Designs. So just FYI, guys, you know, follow us. We got more cool stuff that we're working on. This is just the beginning of the stuff that we're putting together for Star Wars Stuff Podcast. It's going to be fun.
Nice. So Bender says he's a fan.
Nice.
There we go.
We'll post once, you know, we get the stuff, the images that we're going to give away, and then we'll figure out like how we're going to give them away. But there's so much to talk about. What about you guys? Are you guys done with, you're caught up with Bad Batch?
Oh my word. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I think everyone on the podcast is caught up. So spoilers for the series finale of the Bad Batch season 3. If you haven't watched it, hit pause, turn us off, come back later, because I think we're going to talk about all the spoilerific stuff here for Bad Batch Season 3. So you've been warned. Yeah. So go for it, Ray.
Okay. Dude, I see we're going to see Omega in something like we talked about before. Either another, like we talked about, spinoff, either cartoon form. I'm hoping live action. What about you guys?
I definitely think it's possible to see her in, like, I don't know, maybe as an X-Wing pilot in Ahsoka, but the time frame that it seems like she attempts to join the rebellion is near or during the original trilogy.
She's a teenager, though.
Right. Maybe a young adult. I mean, if my math is right, she's, boy, like 15, maybe younger during the Bad Batch, like during the main series.
I thought she was like around 10 or 12 in like when we see her at
the end. Well, if you think about it, she's an unaltered clone. And if she started during the events of The Phantom Menace, like developing as a clone, her and Boba are the same age because they're both unaltered. And Boba was 10 years old in Attack of the Clones. Maybe 11. And then The Clone Wars was 3 years. So, you know, 13, maybe 14. Then The Bad Batch, I think, took place over a year or two. So 15, maybe 16. And then you jump ahead. I don't know. There's a 19-year time gap between episode 3 and 4. And let's say Bad Batch goes 2 years into that time jump. So she could be in her 20s easily.
Yeah.
Maybe 30s.
Yeah, because Boba Fett's in, you know, Mandalorian Boba Fett. So they're around the same age. So I'm hoping we could see her in Ahsoka or even possibly the Mandalorian movie.
For sure. So I guess if my math is right, she's definitely like a full grown adult when she takes off to go to the rebellion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, they kind of confirmed that, confirmed that Hera was around for a lot of the rebellion stuff in the original trilogy, like in Rogue One.
Yeah.
And then the Battle of Endor, they bring that up in the narration epilogue in Rebels. Maybe they could do something similar for Omega and confirm that she was like a pilot of some sort. And maybe they could bring her back in Ahsoka and have her be part of the New Republic. Maybe not. I don't know.
I heard on TikTok, I'm not sure it's officially true, that someone posted that if you listen to in Star Wars New Hope, when they're making an announcement, when they're in the X-Wing area part of the thing, someone said they heard them say Phoenix Squadron in New Hope. I don't know if that's something they added in this most recent stuff. I haven't seen New Hope in a long time. So I'm actually thinking about going back to watch it to see if this is true.
Yeah.
If they actually do say Phoenix Squadron, which would be cool if they did.
Yeah, because I know in Rogue One, Hera is paged by General Syndulla over the intercom on Yavin 4. And then you briefly see Chopper, but that's kind of nothing now because we've seen Hera and Chopper in Ahsoka, right? But not to discredit that cameo. I don't know. David, what do you think?
Well, I got some breaking news here. It looks like single days are all sold out now for Japan as well.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
So I think maybe kids tickets might still be available. But
check.
I have people saying if I have any extra tickets, no, I don't. I don't have any extra badges. The thing about going to Celebration with the podcast is we can apply to be media. And we can get media badges. I think they gave us one in Chicago, and we were too late to apply for London because I wasn't sure if I was going to London or not. So I did last second. But the media badges, it's interesting. I explained this to Ray. It sounds like it's a badge that has a little bit maybe more perks. There's a couple of perks, but nothing to where it's going to get you into a panel or even get you into something before a paid fan can get into. So all the fans that paid have priority over people with these media badges. It's essentially a free pass to get into Celebration, but you really don't want to risk that. And I know that we're all wanting to go. That's how that all works out. But I wanted to bring this comment up from Anna. She's been watching us a lot and commenting a lot. She says, "Hey guys, are you getting any special merch for May the 4th? I want to get something, but not decided yet. Is anyone going to get anything? I know there's a lot of deals out there.
This is the sad part about me. I'm a big boy, so I wear 5X. So majority they go up to is 3X. So unless it's something that I really like, but I do collect pins. So for a majority of my hats, I have individual pins. For each hat, I have a pin that kind of is tied to whatever the hat I'm wearing. So if I have a Detroit Lion hat, I have a Detroit thing that's tied to Detroit. If I have my Power Rangers or I have my, I'm a hat guy. So I have so many hats. I have a bunch of New York Yankees hats. So if they have some cool pins, that's probably what I would get. But I don't know. What about you, David?
I've kind of stopped buying stuff. As you can see behind me, I have a lot of stuff. And actually have stuff still on the way that I've bought a long time ago. And now I'm like, where am I going to put everything? I mean, I have my home office here where I can stick stuff. And I actually want to get rid of these shelves and like get like floating shelves and do a thing where my helmets float. Maybe I'll do that whenever I have free time, which might be never. But yeah, I mean, I need to hold back on that because, I mean, I just don't have enough room for it.
Throwing this to you. That little project you have our friend working on. Is there any way we can get a poster size like what I got in the back here? I would like to get one of those and take that and get it signed because it's our podcast piece.
Okay. So you're talking about selling.
Yes. So that, I mean, guys, if you haven't seen what he's working on,
I'll show it in just a bit, but we got some comments I want to address here. Okay. So Ryan, watching us on X, he says he got a 3-day, got in 4 minutes after VIP sold out. So close. So we would have all had 3 days too, but Apple decided to flag my purchase as fraud. So I had to go back in the queue and get single days for everyone in the podcast. So Albert, who's awesome, watching us on YouTube from the Cantina Cast, who's also going with us to Japan. We'll probably be hanging out with him a bunch there. He says, hey, just tune in. Ticket secured for Japan. Hope to see you all there, guys.
Sweet.
And Albert says he's joined the dark side, and he says he's a Lion fan as well.
There you go, sir.
1975.
That's tough. There hasn't been a light side to it. Unless Barry Sanders, I guess. But
I'm a Hutchinson fan right now. That guy, he's going somewhere. That's all I can tell you.
He's in Detroit. That's right.
I love about his story, dude. Played high school, played all his years in Detroit, and to go to the team that's in your hometown, dude. That's rare. That is very, very rare. Tom Brady wanted to play for San Francisco, and he didn't even get to play for where he grew up. How crazy is that?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Imagine this: the Lions get all the way to the Super Bowl to stop like Patrick Mahomes from a three-peat.
Dude,
how crazy would that be?
Yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah, I definitely. Don't know.
But anyway.
Anyways, back to Star Wars. tickets have eventually essentially sold out here. I haven't been back on the site. I think it still puts you in the queue, right, Zach? Or were you able to get right in?
Yep, okay. I think it still puts you in a queue. Let me try again here.
That's the thing I've always kind of worried about.
Oh, I'm in away.
You don't want to wait to buy tickets for Celebration anymore.
Yeah.
And the next Celebration might be the big Celebration where they celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Wars in 2027. Unless they have another Celebration in 2026, which they very well could, because there's going to be two movies coming out in 2026. They might want to market those and hype those up. So there might be a Celebration next year and then in 2027. The actual places that I think are in contention for the 50th anniversary, this is just me like theorizing here, would be Anaheim, of course, because the central location to Hollywood and L.A. where they shoot The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, pretty much most of the TV shows aside from Andor. Orlando, which the last time they were there was 2017. Of course, Disney World is there. And Chicago. They seem to be very Chicago friendly. in that convention center. McCormick Place is the largest convention center, I think, in North America. So
yeah, let's do it in Chicago. Then
easily, that's an easy drive for me. You and Colin would love that.
Yeah, we'd road trip it down there for sure.
Yeah, it'd be super simple for you guys.
I'd love to.
When are they
going to
have? Okay, this part of the podcast is the part where Lucasfilm needs to listen in really closely because I want a celebration in Texas. I don't care where you have it. You can have it in Dallas. You can have it in Houston. You can have it in Austin. You can have it in San Antonio. Just have a celebration where I don't need to fly or drive for 16 plus hours to get to it. That is my dream. I hope they can accomplish that. I think Austin's in contention, but I don't know how big their convention center is. I know they just built a new arena, right?
Well, that's what I heard.
It's the Moody Center, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the Longhorn basketball plays and the volleyball for University of Texas and the Spurs play there.
Detroit, because Detroit broke the record for the most amount of people attending the draft. We can hold them. I was all outside, but still. Wow.
What's the status on Detroit? Is it doing better?
I think that's subjective. Okay. I guess I couldn't tell you. I'm outside a very miniaturized version of Detroit that doesn't have the same reputations as Detroit. So okay. It's kind of my judgment's pretty skewed for sure.
Yeah, because a lot of people were scared to go to Chicago, and I'm like, it's Chicago, guys.
No.
But of course, like the South Side, there's certain parts where you don't want to venture into.
There's sketchy areas everywhere you go.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
But I think Chicago does actually have the highest mortality rate in a few areas for the whole country.
Yeah. I can believe
I think
that.
There's like shootings like every day.
Yeah, during COVID, there was some crazy stuff going on in Chicago for sure.
Yeah, and I know Detroit, like the auto manufacturers, like some of them moved out and took people with it, and there's abandoned housing, and I don't know. They've made several Hollywood movies based out of what happened in Detroit. So yeah, I mean, I just can't get my mind off of Japan. But back to Anna's question here. I don't think I'll be buying anything. I did see a really cool ad for Enzo rings. They're the rubberized rings with like designs on them. They've done it for pretty much every major IP, and now of course they're doing Star Wars. I saw a Jar Jar ring today that you can buy.
Very cool.
If you get it caught on something, it'll just rip, and you won't lose your finger. I know. I can remember that Jimmy Fallon, he had his wedding ring on. And it got caught on something, and he fell, and something happened to him called ring avulsion. Whatever you do, do not Google that, because some graphic images will come up. But basically, you detach your finger from your hand if you wear a metal ring, and it gets caught on something potentially. So that's what those Enzo rings are kind of designed to. They will actually rip. And going back to football, I think football players actually wear those too, just in case they get caught.
I think a lot of blue collar people do, kind of, just because. You know, I don't know. I'm not a blue collar guy, so I guess I can't vouch for that. But
yeah, I try. I didn't buy Enzo rings in particular, but I did buy some of those like kind of like silicone type rings. And yeah. I'm not a jewelry person. I'm not a ring person. I'm not really a watch person. So it was kind of a waste on me, and I just kind of quit wearing them after a while. But the Star Wars rings are kind of cool. If you go to their website, I know they're having a deal for May the 4th, and just about everyone that sells Star Wars stuff, I think like Roosevelt's is having a deal. They were at Celebration in London. They have some really cool shirts. I think Hasbro is actually releasing a couple of new product lines out there. I think they've already kind of advertised. I'm not so sure if they have like discounts or deals or anything, but, yeah, definitely check out everything. Now, it's almost kind of like it's Star Wars Black Friday in a sense, because there's a lot of sales out there. And if you really want to buy something, check out your favorite Star Wars retailer. So there's that. So going back to the conversation that we were having about the Bad Batch, I think there were a lot of people making predictions on what we were going to see. And I think we all were in agreement for certain things that you were probably going to see. Like, I know Ray brought it up that Crosshair was going to have to make some type of critical shot. unknowingly one-handed because he got his hand chopped off in old school Star Wars fashion.
Yeah,
that was surprising. Cool. But when people started dying off in the show, I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to lose another member of the Bad Batch? But the surprising thing is, I guess we got confirmation that Tech really did pass away there. I guess, what was it, last season?
Yeah.
Last season. Yep. So we were all kind of theorizing that maybe he was one of those soldiers with his face covered. And they Lucasfilm Animation was able to kind of fool us in a way. I think that was kind of on purpose to make us think that. But it was very poignant at the end where Omega still had Tech's glasses on the desk.
That was so good. I love that.
It's like, man, the way they wrapped that up, man, it Omega was such a pure character and so loving and so trusting. And it was, I know when I saw the end of it, her as essentially a grown-up with an older hunter, that made me think about my daughter. My daughters are grown now, they're adults, and they grew up in a flash. And it's like, wow, it's the circle of life, man. And
yeah,
she went off, and I hope to figure out what time frame that is when she flies out of that cave there.
Yeah.
I think there's speculation that maybe she does join the rebellion and she is around. I would love to, if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I love live action. I would love to see her in some type of live action role and get to see her on the big screen. I think that would be awesome. But if you think back to the Asajj Ventress episode, are we going to get some Asajj Ventress stuff in the future? I think that's the big question.
Man.
But
we did Dark Disciple, like just the lost missions. I don't know. That's wishful thinking, but that'd be so cool.
To me, it seems like when they do the live action, they're filling in the gaps and they're not redoing the books, which I'm all for. I would love to see a Lost Stars and they redo that. And at the beginning of the whole purchase thing of Star Wars with Disney, they said everything's going to be canon, but then they've kind of gone back on that and said, well, anything in live action supersedes Trump's. Whatever is in media, comic books, novels. Mm. So for me, it's kind of hard to like sit down and read something when I know that it could be changed like on a Filoni whim.
So I've got a question for you guys. So did you guys catch when he tells her, if you need us, just call us? So that's kind of like, I don't know if that's just kind of telling us later that, hey, we're going to see them together again at one point. I don't know. That's just me thinking crazy outside the box. Because why would he say that to her? If you need us, just call us.
Yeah.
Or you can know where to find us or something like that's what he said. But it kind of made me think like, what if we see them later? Not live action, possibly, maybe, you know, like he says here, Bender, in a rec show, maybe.
I definitely do think animation is going to continue, of course. It's just what are they going to do next as another long form series?
Yeah.
You guys have any idea?
I mean, I don't know. I could always see them doing more with Rex. Rex is such a huge character to where they, you know, I don't know. And people are kind of salty online about not getting enough closure for the Bad Batch. And, what happened with Rex? What happened with Wolf? What happened with Cody? But if you think about it, when we get to Wolf, Gregor, and Rex and Rebels, the Bad Batch isn't with them. And, you know, the show was called The Bad Batch, not...
Those are my sentiments, exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like, it's, I don't know. It was awesome we got to see those other clones, but I'm okay not necessarily knowing what happened to them after the events of The Bad Batch. I would like to know at some point, but I'm okay with it not being told in The Bad Batch because that wasn't their story. They were around, and The Bad Batch always had a different mission than Rex. And Echo is the prime example of that because he joined Rex because he knew that Rex's mission was different than that of the Batches. You know, overall, they all wanted to escape the Empire, but I guess the Bad Batch kind of wanted to lay low, and they were done, and they wanted to, you know, dictate their own fate, and Rex wanted to keep, I don't know, keep fighting in a sense, and probably more in a rebellion-esque type way. That's all my opinion, but I don't know. I don't know.
So does it make you, okay, so for me, Clone Wars, the movie, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, I didn't like the clones, blah, 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 you know, when I first saw the movie. But then when I started seeing the cartoon series and then seeing, you know, they gave more of a backstory about the clones and how they weren't just soldiers. And then the Bad Batch, it kind of makes me really love the clones more, especially at the last of this episode where they're like, hey, guys, I don't need you to, you know, I'm telling you guys we need to do this, but you don't have to come if you don't want to, you know, to come help save Omega or to help save the guys, you know, and they are like, okay, I got one more fight in me. You know, that kind of like made you, I don't just made me love the clones more. You know what I mean? But that's just what I got from it. What about you?
That's definitely like real Band of Brothers type stuff. Like, I love that. I think that's really cool. There's a lot of camaraderie between those clones, and you kind of see how Rampart differed so much from the clones, because he's like, you guys are all so, I don't know, weak to your like your loyalty makes you weak. And I think, Dr. Hemlock, he kept saying the same thing, and inevitably both of those two suffered similar fates of dying on Tantus. But I love seeing that they all came together. Crosshair is a huge example. Like, he joined the Empire and saw that he was wrong, and he kept saying, I need to go get Omega, because she never gave up on me when she could have. She never left me behind when she could have. Yep. She knew I was part of, you know, that family. And seeing that Crosshair kept trying to enact Plan 99, which, like, Tech did the end of season two, Plan 99, you know, you guys got to make it out. And he kept trying to, you know, I guess sacrifice himself because he thought it's what he deserved. But, you know, Wrecker and Hunter were like, dude, we're all in this together. We're not going to let you go and do this on your own. So I thought that was incredible. That was such good storytelling.
Yep.
I thought that scene between Nalase and Rampart was incredible. When Nalase had the thermal detonator and just had it ready.
Yeah.
And she straight up said, and Rampart learned all the secrets, and she just straight up said, my research will never get into the hands of the Empire. And then she was shot. Hopefully didn't feel anything, dropped the thermal detonator, and Rampart was done. And all the research went away.
Supposedly.
That was incredible.
Yeah, and it segues to The Mandalorian. Like, it shows why it took so long for Project Necromancer to get to where it was at the, I guess, by the time The Mandalorian rolled around, because our boys on Mount Tantus were dinking around and, you know, I guess help prevent that from being developed sooner.
True.
Yeah, Tarkin showing up at the end and then moving all the funding to Project Stardust was like, wow, it's all going to the Death Star.
Yeah. And I think part of that was he didn't know a whole lot about Project Necromancer. Maybe he's like, oh, maybe that's not a big deal. I don't really care. Let's move this on to something I do know about and that maybe I could take credit for, because he kind of, I guess, does in a sense. But at the same time, it's, I was, when I heard that Tarkin was going to show up, I'm like, oh, please bring Vader. Please, please bring Vader. That's because my theory, I've probably talked about this before, it's from episode one of The Bad Batch, season one, episode one. I'm like, man, Vader's going to kill one of these guys. And I theorized for the longest time that he'd kill Crosshair, because Crosshair wouldn't be able to kill his brothers. But I like the way they did it. It's okay that he didn't show up, but I always want more Vader.
Yeah, so Bender's saying on YouTube, so technically Bad Batch causes Death Star. I wouldn't say that, because Stardust was already in motion. But I think maybe the speed of the construction was increased in... I guess you could probably say, man, maybe the Bad Batch have are guilty of
Alderaan.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. Maybe if the Bad Batch, I don't know. Maybe if Tantis survived, and maybe Alderaan would have stuck around. I don't know.
And then you never know. Zillow Beast is still out on Tantis.
Yeah,
that thing's just meandering. I don't know. Give me a Tales of the Zillow Beast. See what happens to that bad boy after it escapes on.
And I couldn't believe the stormtroopers were still shooting their like little guns. You know, I mean, it makes no sense. Out of there, man. Don't they know that has like no effect?
I wonder if half of them even knew it was there, or what it was. Right?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So, yeah. Question for you guys: so, do you think that? Because of course we know, you know, Dave is a big Godzilla fan too. Do you think he created this character kind of in homage to Godzilla?
Maybe. Or kind of, you know what I mean? Connection, yeah.
Possibly. I could definitely see similarities, but I can't say for certain.
Yeah, how he ties little things that he loves into, you know, these series.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully I can ask him that question someday. Hopefully you could ask him that question someday, right?
Yeah, stick a mic on. Oh,
dude. Yeah.
He's on my bucket list, man.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to see him in Japan, right? So going back to Albert's question here on YouTube, he says, or his statement, I theorize the same thing. Going to guess the dad show up in season 2 of Rebel Assault, starring Omega fighting alongside her childhood friend, Harrison Dula. Dude, that would be awesome, man. I would love to see that team up. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, me too. That would be so sweet. Can you imagine her being under Syndulla? You know, kind of something like working together, but actually these two little kids who met each other back in the day reunite for the rebellion. That's just poetry.
And I believe there are rumors out there that there is a something titled Rebel Assault that is going to happen. And of course, Rebel Assault is a very Star Warsy name. I think there's a video game. There may have been some books, but I've heard people talk about a possible Rebel Assault series. That could definitely be the animation. Bender says on YouTube, probably cause one stormed Coruscant.
Oh, the Zillow Beast in season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they brought it to Coruscant, and then they couldn't contain it, and Palpatine's like, dude, I want to clone this thing. And the scientist was like, what? And then we don't see one again until the Bad Batch.
Yeah. It was a great series. I mean, everything, all the little tie-ins to Clone Wars, you know, all that. It's just I just love the way Dave Filoni thinks and how he fills in these, you know what I mean? I don't know, something about Dave is just, oh man, it's like, how does he know how to do this, or not know how to do this, but I'm not all our fans, of course, not all the fans like what they're seeing, but for us to know what we want, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
He worked with George. I mean, that's the best answer I have to that.
Yeah, the few interviews I've seen with Filoni is that he has explained that once he got to Lucasfilm under George Lucas was like, I'm gonna get rid of all your bad ideas, because all that stuff you're thinking about doesn't work. Star Wars is a very defined set of rules and a very defined piece of storytelling, and
there's
certain things you can and can't do. And I think he talked about it at the Chicago celebration, or maybe it was Orlando. I'm thinking of the 40th panel. He was the first guest next to George Lucas. I guess George technically was the first, but he was the first guy they pulled out. And he talked about that, how erasing the bad ideas, because he had come from Avatar, right? Last Airbender.
He worked on it. Yeah. I guess that's the last thing he did before he started working on the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
That lines up.
So there is a very distinct way on how to tell Star Wars stories and how to go about everything. So yeah, that next animated series, and maybe we'll get that announcement in Japan. There's a ton of stuff that they can do. Maybe it'll be straight from Filoni's mouth on stage. If we win that lottery race, since we're not VIPs.
That's true. That is definitely
your journey
true.
Has just started, Ray. You're gonna have to go through the whole lottery process now,
dude. It's crazy. So, it's okay, guys. If you don't know about Countdown City Geekcast, go check out Countdown City Geekcast. So, if you're watching 97 X Men, Wasserman is the guy who created that song, opening theme song, right? This is pre-announcement of X Men 97. Countdown City Geekcast. I set up an interview with him. We get to talk to him about how he made the music for X-Men and made the music for Power Rangers. And then also he talks about working with Betty White. And dude, go listen to that interview on the YouTube. It is, he goes all out. He talks about working with Eddie Van Halen. It's just crazy, cool interview. But then watching the episode just last night, they show a store that has his name, Wasserman's, on there, which is pretty cool. But anyway, that's not Star Wars, but it was just cool getting to work with people like that, not knowing we were getting 97 X-Men this year, you know what I mean, so it was cool getting to talk to him about that stuff. But stay with us, because we're gonna bring cool stuff like that here. Interviews, we've got interviews lined up. I was gonna tell you about it, David, haven't had done time yet. He asked about Tuesday, see how we the guy who's putting Rebel Scums together, about coming on the podcast, talk about the convention in June 27th. We're going to try to get him on the show on Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
Monday, we got another interview too with Barry. Rodney, who is working on the new series in the comic as well.
Right. The Inquisitor series.
Yeah, the Inquisitor series. So we got so much stuff lined up. Man, you don't want to miss all this cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to Countdown City Geeks, they cover everything that's pop culture related, movie news, ticket giveaways. Me and Ray work with them, so definitely check them out. We just saw The Fall Guy, which is pretty good. If you're looking for a good movie to watch, aside from The Phantom Menace, if you're going to that this weekend,
I'm gonna go see it like next Tuesday.
If you want to do
Spider-Man, next Tuesday is The Fall Guy.
That's true. All the Spider-Men will be back in theaters as well.
And yeah.
Wow. It's
crazy.
It's
up to The Amazing Spider-Man now. The Sam Raimi trilogy just finished up. But
okay.
That was fun. The crowd made those movies fun. Personally, those aren't super nostalgic for me. I watched them when I was a kid, but as time goes on, they get more cringy to me. I'm going to be honest with you. But I still love them. But I'm in that very small age range where the Andrew Garfield movies are awesome to me. I know it's not the case for everybody who likes superhero movies, but I love those movies. But
okay, anyway. So I gotta ask, Zach, since you're the young guy in the group, have you watched the X-Men, the 97 X-Men at all?
I watched part of the first season and then got caught up in a bunch of other shows and kind of fell off because I heard about all the hype behind 97. I've been trying to watch X-Men 97, but then my wife and I are rewatching all the X-Men movies for X-Men. Or what is it, Deadpool and Wolverine? Because she had never seen any of them. I haven't seen them all in a long time. We just watched Logan tonight. I guess I haven't seen X-Men 97, but it's on my list. That just keeps growing.
All I got to tell you, man, you're going to want to watch it.
That's what everyone's telling me. So we'll see.
Especially if you're a Spidey fan.
Yeah, I saw all about that on Instagram today. So
spoilers.
Cat's out of the bag for that one. But I never watched that show either, that old 90s Spider-Man. So
old. But 90s. Anyway. Yeah, so when I was a kid in the 90s, I would watch X-Men. But the crazy thing was, of course, we didn't have the advantage of technology and DVR. And
DVDs.
This was before DVDs even. So I would wake up early on Saturday morning to watch that cartoon. It was my favorite cartoon animation. But they would show them out of order. And I had like no kind of idea what was going on. And then like when I think the Shi'ar Empire showed up, that was awesome. And I was like, hopefully they continue it. Nope, they didn't. And then maybe a month later, they showed the next episode. I was like, okay, I need to remember all this stuff that happened. And it was awesome. The whole Phoenix saga.
Yeah.
It was great. But now you go to Disney Plus, you can watch it all in order. And all the way up to X-Men 97, which is essentially a continuation of that old series.
Yeah.
And all the episodes, I haven't seen the last one, but I'm almost caught up. They're great. They're really good. Oh, they continue the same tone, the same vibe.
And it gets better and better, man. That's all Easter I can eggs. Say. So yeah. good.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's pretty much it. Does anyone else have anything that they want to?
The poster.
Okay, you want me to show the poster?
I haven't even seen it yet.
So fans could see what you're working on or what you
got. Okay, now that we have our tickets for Japan, we have decided to work with artist Chris Owen, who's been on the podcast. I think if you go on Patreon, you can actually watch it there as well. I think it was released. I'm looking for the art. I'm not quite sure if it's up here. Do you see it, Ray?
No, I don't think it's up there. I don't think you loaded it. But while you look for that, so guys, I have a copy here of Max Rebo. It's a one shot. It is hard to find. I am going to get this signed this weekend, but we're going to do a charity. We're going to do a charity, raise money, raffle for this to give it away so we can give towards a charity. So I'm going to get this signed this weekend, guys, and I'll get pictures too. But yeah, you get awesome. It. Yeah. The picture, guys, once you see this, you're just going to freak. It's crazy. Look, have you seen it, Zach?
No, I haven't.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
No, it's okay, though.
Yeah, I didn't even know that David was doing this until I reached out to another artist, Matt Frank, because huge. Matt Frank is huge with Godzilla, Power Rangers. I mean, he's like the number one Godzilla drawing artist, and he's gone to Japan. He's been invited to all the Godzilla events in Japan. He's gone multiple times to Japan, and I was like, you know what, this guy knows the culture, he knows what you know, stuff like that. So I had reached out to him, and I let David know, but David goes, already got so and so working on this. I was like, oh, even better. So he showed me a little tease, and I was kind of like, wow, pretty interesting. Any luck yet, Dave?
Yeah, I got to upload. I had no idea we were going to do this, so it's going to take a little while.
Well, we didn't know we were going to be going there, too.
Well, I knew where we were going to go. It's just what type of ticket was the question.
Oh, okay.
Like I told you before in the past, Ray, this isn't San Diego Comic-Con. We can get the tickets. It's just a matter of what type of ticket we can get. But yeah, I'm in the process of uploading it right now. So is there anything else you guys wanted to mention?
I'm trying to think. Just those two interviews that we got. And then we got other
Tales
interviews.
Tales of the Jedi too. Or Tales of the Empire. Sorry.
Yeah.
For
we'll be doing that.
So it's weird to think about, because we were told we were getting a season 2 of Tales of the Jedi, and technically Tales of the Empire is airing as its own series. It's not going to be like a season 2 category under Tales of the Jedi. So do you think we'll still get Tales of the Jedi season 2, or am I just looking into that way too deep?
We probably would. We'll get that, but we're probably going to get a Tales of the Empire part 2 as well, possibly.
I'm in.
So it'd be interesting.
All right, sure. So I got it uploaded. So this isn't totally complete. There might be some changes, but like I said, we're working with artist Chris Owen, who is from Glasgow, across the pond. And I simply asked him, hey, look, we want to do some merch for Japan Celebration. And he said, okay, I got the thing. And he was right in line with what my thinking was. I want to go with that particular art style that they have in Japan. And this is what he created from scratch. And I'm going to preview it here now. Like I said, it's not complete. Maybe it is complete. I don't know. But you'll see some Japanese writing in here. And all the Japanese writing are quotes from Ahsoka's dialogue from the TV show. So here it is right now for the first time ever.
Get ready, guys.
Dang it, David. Here, come on. Let's go.
Here is what some of our merch is going to look like here. So this is kind of the running theme, and here it is.
Wow, that's sick.
Dude, it's beautiful, dude. It has the freaking Gandalf white robe look to it. It's beautiful.
And Morai chilling over there.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That's why when David showed it to me, I was just like, dude.
Yeah, very samurai-esque.
So, yeah, the plan is to probably put this on T-shirts, put this on maybe a coin, a patch, just the traditional stuff, really. So
Yeah.
We're going to hopefully have all this stuff by Japan. And
gorgeous, dude. I love it. Now yeah, that, sick. If I can get that in poster size, that baby will be hanging up in this back of this. I'll take one of my Harleys down and I'll put that back there and have it signed by the casts.
Yeah. As a poster too. That's one thing I failed to mention, but yeah, I do want to get this posterized.
That'd be freaking beautiful. Gorgeous, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait, dude. Can't wait.
Yeah. That's what we're aiming for.
Nice. And let's go.
Bender says it's awesome. So yeah. Yeah. Japan is less than a year away. We got our tickets and I think we're all excited. A new podcast adventure on the other side of the world. So.
And trust me guys, I've done San Diego Comic-Con. So I've covered footage. I think as a fan, what fans would want to see, because like I said before, I loved Attack of the Show, G4. So I try to capture what they did. So that's what I want to try to capture while we're in Japan. So I'm going there for work. I'll be covering photos. I'll be doing, trying to get as much stuff for the fans to see who cannot attend from a fan's standpoint.
And Anna brings up a good question on Facebook here. I was about to bring that up. So if you're a member of our Patreon on a certain tier, I believe it's the green or the purple. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember, but we haven't done merch in a long time or swag. If you're a member, you can request it and I'll send it to you. Just got to verify where I need to send it to, because sometimes when people join our Patreon, they'll put in an address and then they'll move and I don't want to send it to that address. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure before I send it. So, yeah, we're going to be in the process here of getting the stuff manufactured. And then once I get it, then I'll be able to send it. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'll have just about everything and then take the rest with us to Japan. So, Anna, I think you're closer to Colin. Colin should be able to get you something and just probably ask Colin. I think she's in Michigan, too. So. I know nice. Colin will keep you updated.
Another Michigander.
So, yeah. I think. So.
And don't forget, leave us a 5-star review that you like the podcast, what you like about the podcast. You know, just go out there, just leave it either on Spotify,
GR,
Apple. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was looking at Anna's comment. Yeah, GR. She's right there. Okay. I'm in Coopersville. I'm right there.
Nice, nice.
Very cool.
And if you're not following us already on Instagram, we're at Star Wars Stuff Pod. We're also on X. I know we just had a comment on X. We're also on Thread, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Of course, go out to Patreon. You can support us there. We're using funds from Patreon to create this swag that we're going to send out. And we're not selling any of our stuff we create. We're giving away to our listeners. So, it's all going pretty much straight to that. TikTok, you can just search up Star Stuff Podcast. You can email the show. I've had a few emails about maybe even appearing on the podcast, and I responded to them, so check your mailbox if you're listening. Facebook, we have a group and a page. And like Ray said, go to Apple, and you can write us a review. Give us 5 stars. You can go to Spotify. Give us 5 stars there. And we also have a website that we haven't worked on in a while, but I'm sure that we'll have a few stories to write about at StarWarsStuffPodcast.com. So for Zach and Ray, my name is David, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Sorry. Sorry for being somebody's dad. So yeah, Albert's still talking about Michigan here.
As long as it's the state and not the football team, I'm all for it.
And Bender said, even mine got responded to when I mentioned the email.
Nice.
And Albert says, good show, guys. Posters fire. Thanks. Thanks, Albert. We'll be seeing each other in Japan, yes, if not sooner, because Albert is actually a Texan like me. So.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah, may the Force be with us all.
Long time.
At least till Japan.
So we're not going to get those shirts. Oh, that's too funny.
Maybe.